Good morning, church family. Thanks, Dan. Morning. Let's pray. God, you are good, and we love you. We are so thankful this morning for your church that you have given to us to do life with, to worship and proclaim your name, to study your word, to carry each other's burdens. Just so thankful for your church, Jesus. And we pray that as we have been worshiping you through song, that we would continue to worship you as we open up your word and as we talk about Christmas and the meaning and the purpose behind Jesus coming. In your name, amen. This Christmas season, as we once again look to the manger, we're going to spend some time looking at the shepherds in the Christmas story, because it wasn't an accident that God chose these men to be the first to announce the arrival of the Messiah. Would you agree? Right? It's not an accident. It's not an accident that when Mary and Joseph got to Bethlehem that there was no place for them to stay, that they ended up staying in a stable. It was not an accident that the most logical place to lay baby Jesus was in a manger, a feeding trough of all places. God chose these things, right? God chose that the shepherds would be the ones to hear the news of the arrival of the Messiah. So what was God saying? What was God doing through this action? And I think that some of what we are to get, some of what we are to understand about God's character, about God's purposes, can be seen in some of the words and some of the phrases that show up in the messages that were passed on to people through the angels that God had sent. For example, there's a phrase in the message that the angel said to Mary that we're going to look at together at Christmas Eve, when the angel says to her, "Nothing is impossible with God." It's a message of hope. It's a confident expectation that in Jesus, God is indeed always bringing about the seemingly impossible, including the full renewal and restoration of a broken and hurting world. Well, this morning, we're going to be looking at a phrase in the message that the angels spoke to the shepherds. And they passed along to this small circle of shepherds on that holy night of Jesus' birth. Throughout this short Christmas series today, next week, and Christmas Eve, I'm going to be showing a couple different scenes from Holy Night, the Christmas episode from the TV series The Chosen, series about the life of Jesus. And I think most people have heard of this. This is actually the what the ministerial has rented the theater out tonight and tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. And I encourage you, it's really good. I encourage you to go. Maybe bring a family member or a neighbor or somebody who doesn't know the meaning of Christmas and invite them with you. And at the end, invite them to Christmas Eve with you. But I encourage you to go. But this morning, we're going to look at a couple of scenes throughout the message from this. And we're going to be introduced to the shepherds of Christmas this morning. And this first one doesn't need a lot of setup. And actually, one particular shepherd is kind of highlighted as we watch this. So let's check it out. You know, we're not told much about the background of these shepherds that God chose to share this incredible message with on the night that Jesus was born. So these are imagined scenes from the creators of The Chosen, but I gotta say, they did their homework. Because we do know that it was hard out there for shepherds at the time of Jesus. A bottom line truth concerning shepherds that all scholars and historians across the board agree on is that they were very lowly within the grand scheme of societal structure. In comparison to others, they were seen as working a very average, unspectacular, uninspiring job. If you were a kid in school and you were writing down what you want to do when you grow up, you wouldn't say shepherd. They were often deeply impoverished. They were rather out of the loop with everyday life, given the fact that they were off living in the wilds, in the wilderness, with sheep, night and day. They were a bit awkward, again, given they spend most of their time out with sheep, talking to sheep. They were often unhygienic. They were assumed to be uneducated. They were subservient to just about everyone. And they were often deemed unclean from a religious standpoint, once again, because of their work with animals, but also probably because they couldn't go to prayer regularly. They couldn't go and worship regularly like everybody else. And so all of this left shepherds in an incredibly dire place socially in society. And you see some of that, I think, portrayed in the scene that we just watched. When the shepherds arrive at the well to provide for their water for their lambs and to refill their canteens, the townspeople are clearly dismissive of them, clearly uncomfortable around them to the point where they even leave the well altogether. Social hour is over. To some point, they wouldn't even engage in conversation. They get this sense that they are inviting dismissal from people, and they inspire disgust from others. They're smelly, they're dirty, they're lowly. So can you imagine what might be going on within these shepherds in society? The battle that probably raged within their hearts, within their heads. Can you relate, do you think? Well, of course you can. Because even though you're not a shepherd, you might be a teacher or an admin or a doctor or a nurse or an engineer, an electrician in the oil field, construction business, still we have a lot in common with a shepherd. There are always people who look down on us, are there not? People who assume things about us or reject us, whether that be for our beliefs, our political stances, our job. People are dismissive. I got to say, it's amazing how some people treat the younger staff at the coffee hut. It's crazy. But many of us know what it's like, the pain when you experience people being dismissive or even acting disgusted by us. And often unjustly so, and yet there's nothing you can do about it. This is just the realities of living life, living with others. Most of us know what it's like to be in a socially dire situation that is deeply painful. I mean, we all went to middle school and high school, right? We all had our awkward years. Just me? Wow, okay. But this is the reason that so many people have a battle raging in their heads and in their hearts, and where they often conclude about themselves, I am worthless. I have little to no value. I am unwanted. I am unloved. I am unclean. What's the point? So while you might be a teacher or an electrician or an admin, business owner, a chef, we still have a lot in common with a shepherd. Now back to those shepherds. It was even worse for them than just this societal ousting. I want to show you another scene from the Holy Night, but let me set it up for you. At this point in the episode, the shepherds have made their way to the town of Bethlehem, and they take their lambs into the marketplace, and they're trying to sell their lambs to, and specifically the one guy that they had us kind of focus on, the guy with the crutch and the limp, he's trying to sell his lamb to the religious leaders at the temple that his lamb would get used as a pleasing offering to Jesus, to God. Watch this. Listen to what's said.
Perfect. No blemish. Nothing. Nothing wrong. See?
Spotless.
Good. No blemish.
This one's good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Teacher, I have a question about the Messiah. I've studied Torah every day.
And a shepherd wants to learn.
Yes. Do you believe the Messiah will set us free from the occupation?
Yes, he will make a great military leader.
Are you sure? Just because last Shabbat the priest read from Prophet Ezekiel and he did not say...
How dare you?
I'm sorry, teacher. He is obsessed.
You brought this animal? I said spotless.
Spotless, yes. These are for righteous men. For the perfect sacrifice. Very sorry. Very sorry. Very sorry.
You wonder why the Messiah hasn't come? People like you keeping him away with your stains. If you come back here without a perfect lamb, I will banish you all from the marketplace.
Now, come, come. I warned you about this. Are you deaf as well as lame?
I'm sorry.
We are not slowing down for you. You take this run back up to the hill and try and keep up. Or find your own way back.
See, here's the thing about shepherds. There wasn't just a socially dire situation, but it was a spiritually dire situation as well. There's a couple images in that last scene that we watched that are just crazy to me. That religious leader telling that shepherd, it is because of people like you that the Messiah hasn't returned. Isn't that crazy? And then did you notice his assistant spit on the dirt at his feet where he was standing holding his lamb just before he fell? The clear message being passed on to the shepherd is, due to your sin, due to the things that you've said or left unsaid, things that you've done or maybe left undone, it is not just people who are disgusted by you, but God is as well. It's just not just people who are dismissive of you, but God is too. He's done with you. You're too far gone. Stay in the wilderness. And here's the thing. This message probably would not have been terribly hard for that one shepherd to understand or even believe about himself. Not only is he a shepherd, and so he's lowly already, but he's a shepherd limited with a physical condition. His physical condition has probably already led to a lot of speculation, perhaps even conclusions about where he was at spiritually. We see in John chapter 9, when Jesus and his disciples come across a man who was blind. A man who was born blind, had never seen a day in his life, and his disciples asked Jesus a question. Do you remember what it is? Who sinned, this man or his parents? See, there was a prominent way of thinking at that time that if you're sick or you're injured in any way, surely you must be horrible in some way. A sinner. You are being punished or rejected by God. There is a direct link between sickness and sinfulness. Injury and sinfulness. The idea is you're getting what you deserve. I think it's interesting that the writers added the wound on the shepherd's arm there at the end. For me, that wound just seemed to kind of liken to the wound on the lamb that was being rejected by the religious leaders. So presumably being rejected by God himself. That poor shepherd is nursing wounds that run much deeper than a scratch on his forearm, isn't he? Now, we can talk a lot about the things that were wrong with that scene and how the shepherd was treated, how he was talked down to, that was crazy. But the reality is that sin is a very real thing, and it's a big deal. That God is not pleased with our sin. Sin is nothing less than someone kind of waging a battle against God and his ways and his design and his creation and even his people. And as hard as that is to maybe accept or understand, God does mete out judgment on sin. Sometimes in real time, natural consequences for the choices we make, for the sin in our lives. For sure, in the end times, God is going to judge sin. Because sin destroys this world that God has created. It destroys and it hurts its people. And scripture says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. That each of our sin has earned for us a death penalty. Because all have sinned, God's word says that only a perfect without blemish sacrifice can cover. That's why the religious leader was inspecting that little lamb. He wasn't wrong to be inspecting that lamb to make sure that it was perfect, that it was without blemish. That was a requirement. Just the way he reacted, the way he spoke, the way he looked down on him, and even some of the things he said were untrue. But even a perfect lamb for the offering could only do so much for men and women. That's the reason why it never stopped. You would have a lamb that was sacrificed for sin, the sins of the people, and then you would have to bring in another one, and another one, and another one. Something greater was needed. Someone to lay down their life as a perfect sacrifice once and for all on behalf of others. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. This is something that religious leader who was talking to the shepherd clearly didn't understand. He seemed to think that sin and the spiritually dire situation that people find themselves in because of sin is relegated to some small corner of society, like for people like the shepherds and maybe a few other people. He seems to think that sin and the spiritually dire situation it creates wasn't a problem for him. Did you catch that? And God's word is clear that sin and the spiritually dire situation that it creates is a problem for all of mankind. For all of us. The Apostle Paul sums it up perfectly when he says, Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. This is why Jesus came. For all have sinned and fallen short of his glory. Jesus came because of the spiritually dire situation that we are all in apart from him. Can you imagine what was going on within these shepherds spiritually? The battle that would have raged in their heads and in their hearts. That they can't do all the things that they're being told you have to do to be a good Jew to honor God because you're out in the wilderness. Having other people all too happy to confirm what you already know about yourselves and who you are before your God. Can you imagine? Of course you can. Because while we're not shepherds, you are human. Right? We know what it's like to be faced with the reality of our own sin, don't we? And the seemingly inability to stop ourselves from sinning again and again. And from hurting the people that we love and being selfish towards others and holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness in our hearts that we know is eating us up, but we refuse to let go of. We know our sin. And we also know that we are powerless to come up with a perfect sacrifice ourselves. That we are powerless to do anything about it. And so many people conclude within themselves, well, there's just no way forward. What do I do with this? I've made war with the only one who is perfect, who can cover it for me, who can deliver me. And so, yeah, we can imagine. Because no, we're not shepherds, but we are very much human. We get it. We understand. Now back to those shepherds. Now, so far, we've talked about the reality of how socially dire their situation is. We've talked about how spiritually dire their situation is. But at Christmas, on that holy night of Jesus's birth, suddenly things change and things get better. In Luke chapter 2, this morning I'm going to have the passage on the screen for you. Luke chapter 2, it says this. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Did you catch the first thing the angel said after don't be afraid? I bring you good news of great joy that will be for who? Open book. All the people. All. Do you catch that? Even shepherds. Right? Even us. Why did God choose the shepherds to share this news with? What better way to get across this message that Jesus is for absolutely everyone? I mean, think about all the people that God could have told first that Jesus was born. He could have told Joseph's mom, because the mother-in-law always has to know first, right? He could have told some of the townspeople of Bethlehem. He could have told Elizabeth, just as he had told Mary when Elizabeth was pregnant. He could have told a religious leader. He could have told the innkeeper who said there was no room and be like, hey, do you know who's in your stable? Imagine. He could have told some Jewish men or women who have proven themselves to be devout, to be God-fearing. But no. How fitting is it? How perfect is it that the first people to hear the news of Jesus' birth are shepherds? It wasn't an accident that God chose to tell a group of shepherds. I think that this is the way for God to drive home this truth that the Messiah is for all people. He is for everyone. It doesn't matter where you fit in society. And imagine what it would have been like for the shepherds to realize they were the only ones, the first ones to be told about the Messiah. I'm sure that would have filled them with peace and joy. But through his messengers, through his angels, God is essentially saying to these shepherds, I know the battles within. I know the war that you waged against yourself, but you are of great worth. You are wanted. You are loved. I have not overlooked you. I have not forgotten you. I have not passed you by. I have not dismissed you, nor am I disgusted by you. And yes, you're a sinner. And you have waged war against me in my ways, but I am making peace between us through my Son, the Messiah, the Redeemer. And may it bring peace and joy within you as well. By him, you will be forgiven. He will be the perfect lamb without blemish, sacrificed for you to redeem you from your sin. He's telling them, you will be made clean. You will be made new. You will be made mine. You, yes, you. Amen? As we close this morning, I want to show you one more scene from this series or this episode. And this is my favorite one by far. And it shows the shepherds arriving at the stable where Jesus has just been born. He's just said, let's go see this thing that has happened that the Lord has told us about. And then we'll see this.
Thank you. so beautiful.
We must tell someone.
No, we must tell everyone.
We must tell everyone.
Everyone. Yes, yes, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've waited for this for so long. So long.
His arm. His arm.
His arm.
His arm.
Yes, his arm.
Oh, it's okay. What will you name him?
Jesus.
We will name him Jesus.
I just love so much of the imagery in that scene. That Joseph chose the one who was so often rejected, even among his peers, to be the one to hand baby Jesus over to. I don't know about you, but I have never pictured in all my things about thinking about the story about them letting other people hold baby Jesus. And I know that when you have a brand new baby, you know, you come in and they tend to get passed around, but I just never crossed my mind the reality of that. But that they, in this, chose that one, I think was meaningful. The other thing that really stuck out to me is the response to the wound on his arm. When she saw that his arm was bleeding, it wasn't rejection. No, it was love, it was concern, it was care. And did you notice that they gave him some of the swaddling cloths off of baby Jesus that he could wrap up his wound in order for it to heal? What a different response from the religious leaders. What a contrast. Jesus' arrival is binding up the shepherd's deeper wounds. And that little baby will grow to be a man who will once and for all bind up the deepest wounds of all of us by laying down his life. By his wounds, we are healed. It's the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy given to the prophet Isaiah. Fulfilled in Jesus Christ. By his wounds, we are healed. This is our Savior. Friends, you might not be a shepherd, but all of this, the manger, the cross, is for you. It's for everyone. It doesn't matter where we live. It doesn't matter our economic status. It doesn't matter our politics, our social standing, or any other distinction that we come up with, that we create. This truth ought to inspire us and challenge us and encourage us. You know, as a pastor, I have a lot of conversations with people where they're questioning whether Jesus can really love them. Looking at their life experiences and their repeated mistakes and poor choices and sin can make one feel disqualified from the presence of God. May you be encouraged this morning. The coming of Jesus allows for a turning away from shame and instead toward peace, toward joy. And so we remember and we rejoice that Jesus came, even for shepherds. Even for us. Let's pray. God, you are so good, and we love you. Jesus, we are so thankful, even for this example in your word, that you chose to go and to give this news, to give this message to some of the lowest in society. God, we are so thankful that we can never out-sin the grace of God. That we are never beyond your reach, that you came to us to meet us where we're at. Jesus, we're thankful that you did not consider your equality with God the Father something to hold on to, but you made yourself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being found in human likeness, being born in a stable, in a manger. going to the cross out of love for us, out of love for your creation, your people. God, if there is any here this morning who has felt beyond your grace, beyond your reach, I pray, God, that this would be a reminder that that's not true. I pray that anybody who is yet to come to the foot of the cross, that today would be the day, Jesus, where they put their hope and put their trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.